contractor. Jeff, you want to take this one? So, okay, this is Keith again. So the next item on the agenda is discussion about the GNSO Council and the contracted party house. Is there anybody from either the registries or the registrars that would like to take the lead on this?
Do we know who put that on the agenda? I don't know what that refers to.
Is that council motions?
Yeah,
I think we should talk about the council motions. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, perfect. I think that was probably the intent.
All right, there you go. So there's four motions. I think two of them are pretty easy. One of them is approving a charter for the lock on setting the lock on UDRP. Yes, I think pretty non-controversial. I think we're obviously in support of that one. I think assume you guys would be too non-controversial. The second one is a motion on. Approving the principles for cross-community working groups. I don't know if you all talked about that, but this has been going on for a year. Those principles have been sent around. Jonathan Robinson from the Registry Stakeholder Group has actually been leading that effort. I don't know if you guys had a discussion on that, but we found that pretty non-controversial. All right, the next two are the harder ones. So I'll throw it out to you before we say how we came out on it. This one was on Thick Who Is. It's a PDP for Thick Who Is, and obviously we had a lot of discussion on it, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts are before we go into ours.
Fellow registrars, any from our counselors, any thoughts or comments on that?
Thick Who Is? The motion?
Yeah.
We're leaning in favor.
That was pretty. We had a long discussion on this one. I don't know if you guys did. Obviously this is a motion that's focused on essentially the activities of one registry operator, even though they provide support for three TLDs. So we went back and forth on this one as to normally there's a principle that you shouldn't do a PDP on any one individual party or a few parties, because that could set a bad precedent in the future. You know, if one or two registrars are doing something, would you want a full PDP with all of the resources expended just for the activities of those one or two? Ultimately, because of the prominence that WHOIS has had in the community and for not wanting to be seen as getting in the way of this and how important it is to the governments and others, the registries are going to support this motion, but we're going to ask that that we put this in a little bit lower priority in the sense of we understand the COM contracts are being negotiated right now, should be posted fairly soon from what I understand, and we think that any PDP should await the however that contract comes out. And so hopefully that contract has to be renewed by, I believe, the end of November. So presumably it's a PDP that we wouldn't want to start until early next year.
Any other comments on that one?
Okay. Okay, so I hear you guys had a lively discussion on this next one. So I'll just throw it out to you all on the motion on the protection of the International Olympic Committee and Red Cross, Red Crescent names at the at the top level. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, and we'll take you through our discussions as well.
I think, Elliot, you were the one that voiced some opinions in our discussion about it. Maybe you can take that.
And we're prepared to share all this with our registry friends? No, I'm joking. So we did have a lot of discussion around it, and I think that I'm trying to see, Jeff, who else is here from registries? Just you guys up here? Is there a couple of people in the audience? Oh, great. Excellent. So I'll look out here then as I'm talking. So, we had a lot of discussion about it, and I think that we came out on, you know, almost what I would call a meta issue, more importantly. And I think I'll set up for that by bringing you back to the GAC GNSO meeting, which I imagine a lot of you, you know, were in and saw on this topic. And there were two really interesting things that happened, two impactful things that happened in that meeting. The first was that Suzanne made a statement that was, for me, unique in really in ICANN's history, which was a statement where she distinguished, you know, she said very clearly, here are two crisp reasons why these two parties are separate and distinct from all of the other parties who are also asking for the same protection. And I thought that was remarkable, frankly, because it recognized that there was a specific issue here that was bigger than the issue at hand, and that was a real concern for the namespace. And I thought she was doing a great job there of giving a clear GAC statement protecting it. And so, you know, that to me was a first in the history of GAC and government role with multi-stakeholder in ICANN. But there were two other statements that followed, you know, first by the EU and then by Portugal, that really mitigated Suzanne's statement. And, you know, the EU statement was, you know, to summarize, we really haven't looked at it. And the you know, Portuguese statement, you know, talked about maybe protection for expansion for others. So there's two things here. We think there's a real opportunity to send a message around the importance of government's role in sort of participating very productively in multi-stakeholder, and to protect against what would, in our view, be pretty much a disaster, which is, you know, sort of everybody else piling in with a bunch of protection. So we plan to issue a statement applauding what looked like sort of a clear effort to play nice, but then saying that unless and until the GAC can give us a clear statement that their consensus view is that these two parties are distinct, we have to vote no.
Yeah. So thank you for that, Elliot. And I really wish the registrars had a member on the drafting team. It would have been a good idea, and I'd asked for it early on. And hearing this viewpoint early on would have been excellent. And
yeah, I should note, you know, there's probably two things worth noting, Jeff. One is that you know, there's been a lot of, hey, there's been a ton of work here. And I, so, you know, I really pushed this in this room, and I wasn't party to that work. So, right. You know, apologies and thank yous and all of that. And I think the second thing is, you know, this position wouldn't have existed prior to that GAC GNSO meeting just a day or two ago. So,
yeah,
you
know, so on
hey,
that,
welcome to ICANN again, right?
Yeah, I know. But on that, look, there's been a GAC consensus statement. And the GAC consensus statement was clearly this applied only to two groups. And then they went on the record and explained that and have the legal research behind that and have provided some of that to us and more of it's forthcoming, that these two organizations are different and distinct than even the IGOs, who, by the way, had already asked for protection and the GAC specifically rejected it. These two organizations are protected both under international treaty and a number of multinational laws. The GAC, look, every time you go into a meeting, whether it's a GNSO Council meeting, whether it's this meeting here, whether it's a GAC meeting, you're always going to have one or two individuals that express their opinion, which may or may not be the consensus of how that group votes. So the day before this meeting, the same two people spoke up. And the guy and the representative, say the guy, it's very slang, the representative from the EU had basically shot down the rest of them and said, look, guys, we came out with a consensus position. Our consensus position is well documented, and we cannot deviate from that position. That was a clear message sent on Saturday. Now, on Sunday, again, Suzanne emphasized the consensus position is clearly only these two organizations and no others. And yes, of course, you're going to have one or two people, but let's face it, a lot of people say a lot of things, but you can't take that to mean that that's the consensus of the group or that there's any wavering on that. I think that it's critical importance that we support this motion, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm on the drafting team or the registries. Chuck was actually the registry representative for a number of perception reasons, but also for the first time that I can recall since I've been here, that the GAC has worked collaboratively with the GNSO. This has never happened before. The GAC participated in some of our calls. The GAC answered written questions that we had, and they were very definitive. In fact, on March 2nd, we had a call with the GAC. We asked them the very same
question. I'm going to stop because I feel like maybe I should just be clear. I agree with everything you said. And all they have to do is make clear that that is their consensus view. So what does that do, Jeff? You say what you said is not true, which is that, hey, you'll be in a meeting like a GAC meeting or a meeting like this one. If there's a consensus registrar view, and I have a different view,
right.
You know well that I'm going to be crisp on saying, here is the registrar consensus view, here is the two cows view. That is not what happened in that room. And I think for all of us, the most important relationship in multi-stakeholder for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years is going to be that relationship. So all that the ask is, that's great. Let me be clear. You know what our statement's going to be right now. If you can get the GAC to clean that up before Wednesday, we don't have a problem.
I'm going to yield to the people on the floor and then...
Thanks, Chuck Gomes. As Jeff said, I was the official registry stakeholder group representative on the group, while Jeff was able to maintain a neutral role in fulfilling the chair job. First of all, let me respond to the two GAC representatives that you said, especially the Portugal one. Actually, what he suggested was the same thing that Wolfgang has been proposing, and that is instead of identifying two organizations, that you actually put the requirements in that they met, and that's fine. In fact, the drafting team and anybody else on the drafting team can correct me if I misstate this, is okay with that, but we felt at this time that there wasn't time to pull that together. I would expect that to be something that would happen after the first round, so that instead of naming two organizations, you put the requirements that they met in there, which are very tight, and the DOC did a lot of research to establish that. In fact, I think there may be a request for that research, and I don't know. I believe they can provide it. So that may be forthcoming. I don't see that as what the Portugal rep said at all as a problem. It's actually saying the same thing except in general terms, and it's what Wolfgang Kleinwachter has been suggesting all along. The drafting team in a meeting we held yesterday morning said, you know, everybody seemed to be...
Let me help you on this one, Chuck, because we spent all of our dialogue really talking about the EU rep. Late in our discussion, somebody pointed out that Portugal had also taken a similar position. So you can stop explaining him away. I will tell you that, you know, if what you're saying is there may be a number of additional organizations, you know, then the caveat might even have to go away and it becomes, you know, even a tougher position.
Well, I don't think you would. I'm sure you wouldn't disagree with me that if another organization meets the same criteria,
I would agree. I would fundamentally disagree with you if another 20 do.
Okay.
I'm sure you wouldn't disagree with me that if another 20 do.
In fact, Elliot, before the GAC letter to the GNSO, the registry's concern was the exact same concern you had of setting undue precedent. It was after the GAC letter that we changed our position, and this was some time ago now, because the GAC letter, I think one of the best ones that they've ever presented in terms of documenting a recommendation, and I've complimented them on that, set very tight criteria, and as you said, Suzanne identified that. And that's what changed our position, because we also didn't want an undue precedent. Okay, so we're on the same page there. Over the weekend, you were in some of the meetings there. One of the things that was decided was to ask the GAC, because of some of the things we were hearing from other GAC sessions, Is this, in fact, a consensus position of the GAC? That was asked in our meeting with the GAC. Suzanne confirmed that it was. She stated it emphatically. I guess what you're asking is you're asking for that in writing?
I think if it's demonstrated to us in writing that that is a consensus position and that the EU is supportive of that consensus, whether they personally or at an EU level don't agree with it, but are supportive of that consensus, then absolutely. Because, Chuck, I can tell you, you know, that the fear is that this is not going to be the way that that ends up. And, Chuck, I think at the end of the day, we're both stressing the same important principle here, which is the GAC and its relationship with multi-stakeholder. We're both trying to get to the same place around that, and I think it well serves us to help them in terms of how it works most effectively.
But you're asking something that goes against their procedure for establishing consensus. We all know how they can establish consensus. A position is put forward. Essentially, if nobody objects, that's it. To ask an individual member to say they support it.
Support the consensus, not the proposal.
Yeah, and I think we have one comment from Jeff.
Yeah, so the original letter that was to us said it was a consensus position. But then they provided us a question and answer document because some of these questions came up as well. This is in Dakar. Question, very simply, why not provide similar protection to names of other organizations? Answer, this is in a Q&A document they said. No other international nonprofit, non-governmental organizations have been afforded the same level of international and national protection. No, I'm repeating what's in writing. You asked for it in writing. That's in writing. So that's what you asked for, right? I understand your concerns, Elliot, but I don't think they'll ever be able to give you the type of assurance that you want. Other than what they've already said to us in writing.
So they cannot confirm that it's consensus.
Thanks. Can I just add something, please? Unless you want to just have a conversation.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I just wanted to... I think it's useful, as Elliot has portrayed the position that... the final position that the registrar stakeholder group has arrived at this morning when we discuss this. I would like to add to that discussion, for the benefit of our registry friends, some of the debate that we had and the fact that we did consider a few things. We did consider, and I made the point, I explained the optics issues that Jeff has alluded to. So we did consider those this morning. I explained the way that the drafting team has worked to reach consensus on a position that is going to be forwarded to the council and considered by them on Wednesday. One thing that we briefly alluded to and that I think is worth strengthening here as part of this discussion is the idea that although on this specific issue we may feel that there is an element of basic circumvention of the processes that we have when we come to a PDP, we also feel that there is a worry that we don't want to weaken the GNSO by seemingly constantly opposing decisions, especially when they have come out of collaborative work between the GAC and the GNSO. So I just want to make sure, Jeff and the other registries, that you are aware that we've discussed all that this morning, so you don't get the idea that it's just plain rejection of this motion. I think that's important. Thank you.
Can I?
Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. I'm Thomas Rickert. I'm the NCA allocated to the Contracted Parties House, and I'm a member of the drafting team. First of all, I'd like to ask whether I can speak here. Is that okay?
Sure. Go ahead.
Now, a few observations. I think that we all share the concerns of breaking a seal with this recommendation. I think that we had good and lengthy discussions about implementation versus policy and what the impact might be, whether the GNSO can be seen as circumventing its own processes and all the rest of it. However, I think that the drafting team has now come up with a proposal, a language that makes very clear that we're talking about an implementation detail of a board resolution that, in my personal view, should never have been made in the first place. But now that it's there, the question is how we deal with it. And we thought that with the language that we now have with additional whereas clauses, as well as in the recommendations itself, we made clear that we grant these exceptional treatment for the initial round only, to start with, for the top level only, and that both discussions for the second level as well as for future rounds on the top level would require further input from the community, i.e. then following the processes that would need to be abided by. And that sort of made me feel comfortable supporting these recommendations as they're now on the table. I share the concern that we might establish a dangerous precedent here. However, what I understand from the registrars they want to protect themselves against is that the GAC might come back later requesting exceptional treatment for other organizations. And in my view, but we would need to double-check this with the GAC, I think the Q&A that Jeff cited from reflects consensus in the GAC. So to me, that would suffice as written evidence that Elliot was asking for to give reassurance that we're, you know, not setting a dangerous precedent with this. Additionally, while I think that this IOCRC topic as such had so many issues in it, and it was really hard to come up with the solution that I find constructive, I personally put an awful lot of effort into this in the light of the general relationship with the GAC and in the light of the difficulties that, in particular, the registrars had. You know, we all remember this disastrous meeting in Dakar surrounding the RAA, and I think it would be a bad precedent in itself to turn down the GAC in a project which the GAC itself called the first effort for a new collaborative approach between the GNSO and the GAC. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for that. We did have one comment from Bob Connolly, who noted that before 1999 Network Solutions, the registry protected Olympic and Red Cross. So I thought I'd mention that. Thanks, Bob, for the comment. Mr. Nevitt, are you just pondering things? You look like you're moving towards the microphone. Is that true?
I was going to say exactly what you said for the most part, but I would really urge you guys on the registrar side to really rethink this position, because you probably didn't have the full information because you didn't have anyone on the drafting team, but hearing what I heard as far as what you got in what we all got in writing from the GAC, it sounds like to me that we got the best that we could get as far as that kind of confirmation. And we're not going to get anything better. And by voting no, you're poking them in the eye at the really wrong time to do that, and for no real good reason, where you could always point to that letter, you could always point to Suzanne's statement, pull the transcript, copy it, keep it in your files, make sure you could have it. You could pull it out anytime. And, you know, essentially, I would urge you to reconsider and vote for the motion.
Okay, thanks. We'll take that under advisement. That being, I think, the last one of the motions, I think we can move on to the next topic, which is new TLDs.
Okay. Thanks, Gray. And obviously, this is some of these bullets are pretty broad categories, so I'm not sure that there was anything specific or anything detailed that we necessarily wanted to raise, but I would just open it up to both registries and registrars if there's any particular topics around new GTLDs that we want to discuss. Let's kick it off.
Yeah, I think Jeff and I were just saying, I think the plan here was just for everyone to go around the room and give the strings that everyone's applying for. So start down there on the left.
or do a pool on the number of strings. Any thoughts or comments on this that we think would be productive for us to share with one another? Nope. Yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hi, it's Jonathan Robinson. I wouldn't mind knowing what you guys discussed, if anything, or any conclusions you came to on the batching. Is that going to open a can of worms?
We've decided on a foot race.
I would just add, I don't think we discussed it formally at all other than in joking fashion in the hall. But I personally have a fair amount of concern over what it's what Kurt's presented and how that will play out. Just personally, you know, not speaking on behalf of the stakeholder group, but me personally. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd confirm that it hasn't been a formal agenda topic for us. So, Krista?
Yeah. So there's been a, excuse me? Batching, yeah. So there's been a lot of people that are concerned about it, and one of the things that we actually talked to Kurt about earlier today was trying to put together a group of people that can come up with an alternative, somewhat similar to what the registries did with the COI plan. I realize that didn't necessarily turn out the way everybody wanted, but at the same time, coming up with alternative ideas that can, you know, usurp or replace what's out there right now, because we all know it's pretty problematic.
Don't forget to state your name for those of you that don't know our next speaker.
Stefan van Gelder. Yeah, just to add to that, so...
You haven't got the shoes, mate.
I haven't got the shoes, mate. I've got the pizzazz. Point being, when we spoke to Kurt, because apparently they're deciding on it tomorrow and wanted to lock it down, and Kurt seems to be fairly adamant that, whether it's his idea or whatever, that this is what's going to go forward. All I suggested was the wording they had was, yes, we have a plan, but should something subsequent as an alternative be suggested that is considered somewhat better by ICANN staff, that they can consider that. So that's all I've tried to get wiggled into the thinking for tomorrow with the board, whatever decision's being done tomorrow. I understand there's something being done tomorrow. So if anyone has any ideas that they want to suggest to us that isn't a foot race, because believe me, our little internal list has come up with enough stupid ones already. I particularly like the IQ of the CEO. But we'll... let us know. So let email Chris or me if you've got any better ideas, and we'll try to formulate something. So thanks.
Great, thanks. Elliot, I think you had a comment.
Can I ask you that? Just, Adrian, before you go, do you have an idea of the time frame? If you talk to Kurt, if you come up with a plan, say, I mean, is it like, does it have to be this week? What sort of time pressure are they on?
Well, I've asked him to come back to us with that. As I say, he was pretty dismissive anyway. He just said, well, of course you can go and do something. I suggested 12th of April was a deadline for us to have an alternative. But it would be helpful to get something more concrete from ICANN. So thank you, Adrian Kindres.
So thank you, Adrian. And on behalf of the registries, I think we would certainly be interested in participating in anything that would improve the proposed process. So thanks for suggesting that.
Okay. Any other comments on new TLDs?
It's Jeff here. So one quick question. Has there been a clarification on the batching? I think we've all asked or tried to. Is it on the batching in terms of evaluation or delegation? Because they've sort of mixed words on it a few times here and there. So we all know they've said the cap of 1,000 per year on the delegation. But on this, the batching, has there been any clarification on this, the secondary time steps? It could be towards evaluation and how it affects contention sets? Or is it just sort of, has anybody seen any clarification?
That's a good question. I assumed it was on evaluation, but Chuck, do you have anything more?
Yeah. Whenever I talk about the guidebook, I try to be careful because there's so much in it. But yeah, I think that it's clearly on evaluation, and they have said that they will take 400 in the second batch and 400 after that, and so forth. And Kurt, in the session yesterday, also said that will not affect the comment periods or the, and you probably heard it, the comment periods or the objection periods. They stay the same regardless of which batch you're in. So that also tells us that it must, you know, be clearly on evaluation.
Great, thanks. Any other comments on new TLDs? Seeing none.
Sorry, it's Jeff here again. And, just so I want to be clear with the registry. So when we had met with the board, I don't know if you were in there, if anybody had been in there, just so I guess they come clean or just go out there, that we had made a proposal to the board and then to staff. Well, not that. We know that the registries are looking for a path forward for, you know, to become registrars and on their existing TLDs. And we had said that, just so you know, that we're okay with that. We want that process to go forward, but we just want to make sure that everyone is on an even playing field on a go-forward basis and that there's no sort of cherry-picking from your existing agreement and from the new GTLD agreement. And we had asked that we made ourselves available to consult with them if they had any questions on that going forward, so it wasn't put upon us. So I just wanted to let you guys as registries know that you know, we support the motion of having that go forward, and we all want to make, you know, the full vertical integration to happen, but we just want to make sure that it happens in an equitable way.
So thanks, Jeff. This is Keith again. And I think just to be clear, from the board resolution in Singapore, there were two options that were prescribed. One was to accept the new GTLD agreement in full or to request a removal of the restriction in the existing agreement. And Jeff and others could add to this, but I think that those are the two options. I don't think it's a question of cherry picking between the two. It's either accept the new agreement or just request the removal of the cross ownership vertical integration restriction. So Jeff, do you want to add to that?
But to add to that, if you requested the removal of the restriction, you had to accept the code of conduct. So that was, but it wasn't you had to accept the entire new GTLD agreement, every bit of it. It was just you had to accept the code of conduct and the other provisions that are related to the registrar relationship.
So thanks for letting us know. That you'd raise that with the board.
Okay, I think time is somewhat running short here, so we'll move on to, I guess, RAA negotiations. You guys had questions for us on the topic that
I don't think we had any specific questions. It was really more an opportunity for you to give us an update if you wanted to. Unless somebody raises their hand with a specific question, it's really more just an opportunity if there's anything you'd like to share with us.
Mason, you've been doing update duties all week. Do you want to say it again? Play it again, Sam?
Mason, if you want, I'll spell in for you. Well, I mean, I was just going to say, you know, Mason has given that update both in the GSO and the GAC, so I don't want to go through it again if we don't need to. I think, you know, I think everyone understands kind of where we are. The biggest, frankly, outstanding issue that we've obviously been getting a lot of questions about is just the timing and where we are. And we've been trying to get some clarity around that and what the schedule is going to look like the next several weeks, because really our goal is to get something out for public comment, you know, in the next X number of weeks and not months. We understand the pressure that's on us, that's on both parties to get that done. And so, you know, we were hoping to try to get some more clarity around that by the end of the week here, you know, whether or not as of Tuesday we don't have that, but hopefully by the end of the week we'll have some more clarity on just what the schedule looks like. But, you know, we're just hesitant to commit to any sort of firm, you know, timelines at this point. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for that overview or recap. I just want to take the opportunity to commend you guys as a group, as XCOM and the organizers of the validation verification workshop that you put on. Was it yesterday? I guess it was yesterday. Losing track of time. I thought it was a really positive session. I was there for the whole time, and I thought that the engagement and the coordination and everything, I thought it was a top-notch event. So, commend you.
So on that, I agree with you, Keith, and thank you for the compliment. It really was. It was a good example of where we need to be steering discussions of that nature. On that, you know, speaking for myself, one thing that has become clear out of this negotiation process is there's a perception in the community that it should be very easy simply to impose behavioral rules on end users by governing contracts. I mean, if you want to talk about dangerous precedents, obviously that's one of them. And we made progress with the GAC about a month ago in a meeting that the negotiating team had with several GAC members. And we made progress by explaining more about what it's like to be a registrar and why some of the things that they have been demanding are difficult. I think the more that contracted parties can help deliver that message, the better. There's not as clear a realization in the community that other parts of the community probably have responsibilities under their proposals, rather than just saying, here's my proposal, registrar, go do it. So if the registries are in a position to do the same, I think that could be helpful for both of us.
Great. Thanks, guys. Any other comments on the RAA or questions, thoughts? Thanks. Last one I guess we'll go to is the changes to the bylaws and rules of procedure. And I think this was basically an opportunity for you guys to talk about the concerns that you guys had and how that led you to take action to amend your bylaws. And, you know, thoughts, two things. It's that specific question and then also maybe more generalized concerns about, you know, the changing nature of the game, I guess, as it is.
Great. Thanks, Gray. I'll tackle this and ask my colleagues to jump in. I think, you know, now for at least several ICANN meetings now, we've actually had opportunity for the registries and registrars XCOMs to get together for breakfasts each meeting. This is one of the topics that we've talked about is the question of, you know, the changing landscape, particularly as it relates to our memberships and particularly in light of vertical integration and cross-ownership. So in looking ahead, a couple of years ago now, we started the process of reviewing our bylaws and our charter with the goal of being able to ensure, a level playing field, fair play, inviting new members, but also having the protections in place in our bylaws to make sure that, flip-flopping of votes and things of that nature, didn't occur. And I'll be more specific. We have updated our bylaws to provide for entities that may also belong to other stakeholder groups or ACs, whether it's a vertically integrated registry and registrar or a .brand registry that also belongs to the IPC. I mean, there's any number of combinations that you can envision. So we have made the changes to our bylaws. The bylaws are now in place that would allow membership but require the member to choose where they vote. In other words, they can't vote in two constituencies or stakeholder groups or different groups at the same time. And we also put into place some parameters in terms of timing that would say you could only, switch your vote from one group to the other, during a specified time frame. And I think it's once every 6 months is what we ended up with. I'd have to double check the details, but the idea to prevent an entity from belonging to multiple stakeholder groups and then flipping their vote from one to the next, dependent on the vote at hand. So we have, looked ahead and seen that we were, we as a stakeholder group are going to be a very different animal a year from now, 6 months from now, than we are today, just in terms of sheer volume of members. I think looking ahead without putting the cart before the horse, we're going to look a lot more like the registrar stakeholder group in terms of our structure. We have allowed for the formation of interest groups within our stakeholder group, where it wouldn't be that an interest group has a vote of its own, but it would be an opportunity for like-minded groups or entities within our stakeholder group, members within our stakeholder group, to join together and to come up with their own recommendations as a group. So there are things that we've done, actions that we've taken. I wouldn't presume to say that we're, that we've thought through everything, because I'm sure that we're going to get some curveballs and that we'll react accordingly. So maybe I could kick it over to Jeff or Jonathan or anybody else that would like to comment from the stakeholder group.
Jeff?
I think you did a good job. Those are the protections we built in. We obviously had to go through the whole process. It was reviewed by ICANN staff and approved by whoever it had to be approved by. I don't think it went to the board, but it was certainly approved by the staff. And we changed it quite considerably from what it used to be as far as the voting. And But we also have this concept of interest groups within our charter. And so, you know, we fully expect this concept. It's not the same as constituency. It's not voting or anything. It doesn't get council seats. But we fully expect, for example, brand TLDs, you know, may want to form their own interest group and have their own types of statements, or GOTLDs, you know, who knows, there's a ton of them, but we built that into the concept as well.
Jonathan?
Thanks, it's Jonathan. Jonathan Robinson. I guess the only other point is to let you guys know that we, the registrars, know that we raised this with the board, and Bertrand in particular expanded on what the board was thinking on all of this, and they were at face value satisfied and pleased that we had made the progress we had, which we're pleased with as well. But it's clear that for the board this is an ongoing and broader issue that they are hoping will receive ongoing and further attention. And there's a recognition of the, for example, the impacts of vertical integration and other changes, that whether it's dot brand TLDs, all these things that we can't, while we can anticipate some of the elements of, it's going to be an ongoing adaption of essentially the model and the way in which we work overall.
Matt?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Do you guys have a document that outlines like what the changes in the bylaws were, so that it's, you know, so that we can maybe review that? Or
yeah, actually, conveniently, Keith provided that to me yesterday, so we have that. Elliot?
Yeah, I think that there's probably two points at this juncture that I think are important for us all to sort of digest in the room. And the first is that there's no question that the change that new GTLDs are going to bring is going to be both massive and completely unpredictable. So I think it's inevitable that this will lead to ICANN 3.0, and it would be folly to try and predict too far in the future at this point. Second thing I'd like to say is I do believe that there is one bit that is clear. There is some nomenclature from the last ICANN reform process that I think all of us in this room should start to change today, which is contracted parties. Because I think that to leave that, which was just a convenient label for the two of our groups, there's no magic in the term contracted parties. It was just a convenient way to divide two separate sets of interests. I think we need to come up with an alternative term, perhaps something like companies in supply chain to end users. I mean, I've got nothing at this point as an alternative. What I will tell you is that term, contracted parties, contains in it, you know, seeds of real problems, and it's something we should turn our minds to now.
Great. Thanks, Elliot, for that comment. Any other comments from registrars about that topic? Seeing none, that means we're almost on time. So thank you guys for coming. We always appreciate the chance to exchange views, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the halls and in Europe.
Great. Thanks, Gray. And likewise, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you inviting us in, and we're glad to be here. We always look forward to these exchanges. So thanks, everybody.
Adrian appreciates Keith. That's the last word. Just noted. Thanks, guys. And now, actually, I think we have the final closed session. Our registrars have the final closed session of the day. So thanks to the registries for joining us.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, hey.